Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for The Christophers, and on today's show, we'll be addressing the topic of integrating children with special needs into the life of the church and teaching them about faith. I'll be talking with David and Mercedes McBride Rizzo, who have walked that road themselves because their daughter Danielle has autism. Their new book is called Spiritually Able, and it's a must-read for parents with special needs children. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and my guests today are David and Mercedes McBride Rizzo. David and Mercedes are the parents of four children, one of whom, Danielle, has autism. When she was first diagnosed, the Rizzos had a good deal to learn, not only about raising a special needs child, but also about teaching that child the Catholic faith that serves as their spiritual foundation. They found that there weren't many resources to accomplish this task, so they set out to create some of their own. Now they've written a book to share what they learned with parents in similar situations. It's called Spiritually Able, A Parent's Guide to Teaching the Faith to Children with Special Needs. To tell us more, I'm pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, David and Mercedes Rizzo. David and Mercedes, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tony.
Now, before you had your daughter Danielle, did you have any experience with or exposure to special needs kids through family or friends or your own experiences?
Not really. I am a physical therapist, so I had experience with people with disabilities, but I was working with mostly geriatric people, so really very limited.
Okay.
I work as a teacher, and I support students with individualized education plans, so I did have some exposure from a professional point of view.
Okay. Well, now, how old was Danielle when she was diagnosed with autism?
She was 4 years old.
4 years old. Okay. And as I understand it from reading different articles, autism can vary from child to child. What kind of information were you given when Danielle was diagnosed? Did medical professionals adequately prepare you for this experience?
No, because autism is such a variety of a spectrum, and you get the really high and lows of capabilities.
Yeah.
Danielle's nonverbal. So when she was maybe a couple years old, maybe even one or two, we knew that there was something not right there because she didn't communicate.
Okay. I'm talking to David and Mercedes McBride Rizzo about their book, Spiritually Able, A Parent's Guide to Teaching the Faith to Children with Special Needs. Now, what are some of the unique spiritual and religious needs, first of the parents of children with special needs?
Well, very, very much parents of children with special needs need to realize that even though they didn't expect to have their child be a child with special needs, that was the child that God gave them.
Yeah.
And God doesn't make mistakes. So having faith that God is in control and that this is the child you are meant to raise is very, very important.
Okay. Did you guys find any guidance or direction from your church or your parish or even the wider church in general? Were there resources at that time?
No. We had already had two sons who are a little bit older than Danielle that we, when it came time for them to start their religious education, we just signed them up at our parish with ease. We really had no idea or understanding that parents struggled with this.
Mm-hmm.
But with Danielle, it became apparent very early on because she lacked communication. She doesn't speak. She couldn't read. So
yeah.
We knew going into it that we were going to have a modified approach for her to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
But we even questioned whether or not she could even make these milestones because of her disability. But there really was very few materials at our parish available for us,
mm-hmm.
for a child who didn't have the ability to read. However, we were very fortunate that our parish was very welcoming,
okay.
and they were very willing to help us.
Okay, so, great, great. Well, what should parishes be aware of in terms of ministering to special needs children and their families? How can they be welcoming and prepared for the situation? What did your parish do?
I think what they need to do is to recognize that the parents of children with special needs who are coming to their church want the parishioners to feel comfortable around their children,
mm-hmm.
and also want them to know that we're not being bad parents when our children may have behaviors or be making noise or not seem focused. That's part of the disability. It's not a sign of their irreverence.
Mm-hmm.
And that just sort of give us an opportunity for the child to learn the expected behaviors. And they will, because children with disabilities do learn. It is extremely possible for them to learn to attend to Mass, learn to sit through Mass, to participate, to become an active participant in the faith.
Right. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to David Rizzo and Mercedes McBride Rizzo about their book, Spiritually Able, A Parent's Guide to Teaching the Faith to Children with Special Needs. Now, how did you format this book and why did you do it? Frankly, why did you even write it in the first place? Was this supposed to be a resource for families who really didn't know where else to go?
We wrote the book primarily because we knew that there are so many families out there that really want their child with special needs to be involved in the Catholic faith. But it just seems sometimes so insurmountable, the odds of that happening.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes just the difficulty of getting out the door on a tough day to Mass,
yeah.
you know, and lasting through the Mass. And there were many families that we came in contact with that we shared, well, Danielle was able to make her communion. And they were just so surprised by that.
Mm-hmm.
So we really felt called that we just wanted to make it a resource that was available, that we did it, you can do it, and this is how we did it.
Right.
We really felt that it was just being put on our hearts that we should, you know, this would be one of the blessings out of the autism diagnosis, our ability to use our talent as, you know, an educator and a physical therapist.
Right.
And bring that out there.
Right,
to other parents that needed the resources.
Yeah. Well, talk to me about the format of the book, because I thought it was interesting, because you go through the sacraments, you go through different stages beyond the sacraments, and each chapter has kind of these small steps to take. So talk about the formatting of the book.
Okay. Basically, each chapter begins with a story from our personal experience of our family, which sets the theme for the chapter. And then there's a series of lessons that go through how do you teach a certain set of concepts or a certain idea. And these can, and like you said, these are in small steps. So we start talking about, an introductory activity that's easy to learn. And then we move into more of a real life activity, such as in the church or out in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And then we finish with a closing meditation.
Right, right.
And there's also a section connecting to the scripture.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the ideas you discuss in the book is reinforcement learning. What is that, and how did you apply it in teaching the faith to Danielle?
Reinforcement learning is when you give, if the child or the adult, if they do something right, you give them something that they like. You provide them the opportunity, experience, and something that helps them to learn the activity.
Mm-hmm.
So it's reinforcement learning. It makes it more likely that they're going to do the same thing again. So, for instance, giving verbal praise to a child could be an example after they do what's right.
Mm-hmm.
Could be an example of reinforcement learning.
Right, right.
It works extremely well with people with autism and other special needs.
Well, how were you able to introduce Danielle to going to church and attending Mass and the idea of why it's so important? Was reinforcement learning a part of that? Was it just small steps over time?
Yeah, it was small steps over time. Initially, she wasn't really even able to last in Mass more than a few minutes.
Okay.
And we just built up with that. You know, one time we would always give her a break. We would make it a schedule break so she didn't think that, you know, she was getting out of something. But it was bringing her back. It was choosing a seat that was, you know, not too close to the, you know, the music, not too far from the music,
okay.
You know, an easy exit out the door. But it was many, many trials and errors. And there were times when it wasn't going to work that week. You know, it just took, you know, many years of working up to the whole process for her.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that really helped her was we developed a piece called My Picture Missile that has on it a picture, kids with autism they do really well with pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So what we ended up doing was the first picture on the page was the picture of what you should be doing with your body, whether you're standing, sitting, or kneeling. And then the second picture was, well, what's going on at Mass? What's going on at the altar at that moment?
Mm-hmm.
And that gives the child the visual cue for what's expected of them and what's going on. And once that worked for Danielle and clicked, then suddenly she realized, oh, I'm here for a reason. There's something important happening. And she was able to attend.
Right. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'm talking to David Rizzo and Mercedes McBride Rizzo about their book, Spiritually Able, A Parent's Guide to Teaching the Faith to Children with Special Needs. When you talked about Danielle receiving Holy Communion, an acquaintance of yours suggested she shouldn't receive it because she didn't understand what it was. And I got the impression this was an especially difficult issue for you to grapple with, both on its own and because of other people's judgments. How did you navigate those waters?
Well, that was really challenging for us because when you have all the obstacles that, you know, Danielle was facing just to get through a day, let alone go to Mass, you know, you want to maybe kind of say, well, okay, I value what they're saying. We don't really have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But we knew when, you know, in Mass, when the host is held up and take this, all of you, we knew that Danielle was part of that all.
Mm-hmm.
So we really felt kind of driven that we wanted her. We knew that the sacraments were not just a ticket into her going to heaven.
Right.
We knew she was going to receive graces from those sacraments in her life. And we've seen her behaviors, so many things better
mm-hmm.
since she has been able to receive the sacraments. But I think my husband here wants to add something to that, David.
I just wanted to say that, you know, it was a well-meaning thing. They thought, well, Danielle doesn't need to receive communion because she's already holy in her own way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was an attempt to be comforting, but parents don't want to hear that. What they want to hear is, and ourselves included, is no, you know, the sacraments is our way of participating in the sacred mystery.
Yeah.
It's our way of learning about God, of knowing God and experiencing God. And children with special needs have that ability and, as human beings, that right to experience God. And the sacraments, especially the sacrament of Holy Eucharist, is the primary way in which we do experience the reality of God in our lives.
Right, right. Well, do you think one of the graces she got out of that is actually just being able to participate with the rest of the church community in this common action?
Yes, when we look back now of her life and her progression, she is probably at the best level behavior-wise than she's ever been at.
Wow.
And she's been able to make her first communion. It was very important to us that somewhere around the age of like 7, 8 years old, when normally children are making it, that she make it.
Mm-hmm.
And she did. And then she also made her reconciliation and her confirmation. But now that she's had the three sacraments behind her, and not really behind her, but that she's been able to complete them, she just seems better in so many areas of her life. So I know that she's getting graces from all of that.
Right, right. Well, how were you able to get Danielle to understand the basics of receiving Holy Communion? Like, if parents are listening, they have a child with autism, what are some of the things they can do? You go into it in your book, but just give us a bare outline.
Well, basically, what the bishops ask is that if you are going to receive First Communion, if you're going to receive communion and you are a person with a disability, you need to be able to understand and do two things. You need to recognize the difference between communion and ordinary food,
mm-hmm.
and you need to be able to receive reverently. And so we looked at that and we said, well, how can we teach the difference? And what we did was we put together a puzzle which demonstrated that there was communion on one side, like a communion choice, an icon, and then there was Eucharist, communion, and then on the other side was food and Jesus. So the person had to take the communion icon and place it to either food or Jesus. And what you do is you teach the child through reinforcement learning and repetition and the like, that the communion goes not with food, but goes with Jesus. So they begin to identify it as important and with Jesus. And that's what you do. And then to teach the reverence, what you have to do is teach reverent behavior. So, for instance, things like standing in front quietly or as quietly as you can, either bowing or just standing quietly in reverential silence, or just a nod of the head, or perhaps sign language. If you sign, you can sign yes when the priest asks the body of Christ. So there's reverent behaviors that you can teach, and we break that down in the book so that you can do each one of those things, whatever works well for your child. And then we also put together before we wrote the book, we put together the adaptive First Eucharist preparation kit, which also contains a series of teaching tools, puzzles, stories, and the like that you can teach your child these reverent behaviors and the importance of communion and that it's different from food so that you meet the bishop's requirements.
Okay. I'm talking to David and Mercedes McBride Rizzo about their book, Spiritually Able, A Parent's Guide to Teaching the Faith to Children with Special Needs. It's from Loyola Press. Now, you write in the book that teaching kids with special needs about abstract religious ideas or figures can be challenging. What have you found is the best way to approach that? Is it, again, the picture approach that familiarizes them with some of these Bible stories?
Well, for one of the things we tried to teach Danielle, just this general concept about Mary and Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did was I took a picture of me and took a picture of her and, you know, I'm your mother. And then did the same with Mary and Jesus. This is Jesus's mother, Mary. What do you want to say about this?
Also, I think you can use everyday objects like dolls, for instance,
mm-hmm.
to
okay.
represent these abstract religious figures. So you can play with a there are dolls of Jesus. Plush dolls. Loyola Press just put one together as well. And what we also did was sometimes they'll play dress up or they'll engage in pageants like during Christmas, the nativity pageant,
okay.
and the like.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these more learning by doing types of approaches, as opposed to just trying to understand that in the past 2,000 years ago, there was a person named Jesus. Here you're actually immersing the child into through play or through pictures or through some other, you know, manipulative object. So
right.
that works really well.
Okay. Well, you just mentioned learning by doings. And beyond the sacraments, you also found a way to introduce Danielle to acts of Christian service. Why was that so important and how did you approach it?
Well, I think we learned that there are opportunities out there for Danielle.
Mm-hmm.
Danielle wears eyeglasses. She's always wearing eyeglasses. So when she's done with her many pairs of eyeglasses, we have her donate them to there's an organization that recycles eyeglasses. We have her accompany us when we're cleaning out our, you know, garage or whatever drive. If there's a book drive or a soccer cleat drive or whatever we're donating to,
mm-hmm.
we have her be involved in the cleanup of it and distribution of it. She's donated her hair for organizations like Locks for Love.
Okay.
But there's one story that stands out. She was in a supermarket with me, and a lady came up behind us in a motorized shopping cart. And normally, if you look at Danielle, you kind of get the sense that she probably wouldn't be the person that you're asking for help.
Okay.
But this woman said she needed, excuse me, I need your teenager to help me. And she wanted Danielle to unload her shopping cart for her.
Okay.
And I sat there for a minute, and the gifts of the Spirit were rolling through my head. And I realized that this was a perfect opportunity for Danielle to give of herself.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know, she will help you, and I will help you, too. And I started a conversation, and it took longer because I had to prompt her,
okay.
you know, put the bread up on the roller or whatever. But when it was over with, I was filled with wonder and awe, and I think everybody there was that she was able to do that.
Right.
And she was so happy, too. I think, you know, she was smiling and so happy to be of service. I think we forget that sometimes that our folks with special needs love to be of service to others as well.
Right. Well, because she's nonverbal, I guess it's hard to know how much or what she understands. Has your understanding of her level of understanding evolved over time?
Well, expressively, Danielle's expressive ability to communicate is very low.
Okay.
She really doesn't articulate more than approximation of a word.
Mm-hmm.
But receptively, she seems to be extremely high. Like she truly understands what you're trying to convey to her.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be broken down into incremental steps, like get your shoes, get your coat, you know, going to mass. You can't give her a whole paragraph and she'll comprehend that.
Right.
But if you give her a small, you know, command at a time, she seems to understand that and respond to it. But she cannot express to you, in other words, she uses a machine
mm-hmm.
To communicate. She knows sign language. So we are working on areas for her to express it. But receptively, she seems to be very high.
Okay.
So one of the things that you do is you learn to read things like her own reactions, her own behaviors, and her own facial expressions. So she definitely expresses happiness, but just not in words, but
mm-hmm.
by smiling or by laughing and that kind of thing. She expresses love by maybe coming over, grabbing you and giving you a kiss, or putting her head on your shoulder.
Okay.
So there's nonverbal ways that she communicates to us, and the many, many people, both verbal and nonverbal people, communicate in those ways. She just happens to rely on those because it's what's at her disposal.
Right, right. So an action is worth 1,000 words in her
Absolutely.
Life.
Absolutely. Yes.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'm talking to David Rizzo and Mercedes McBride Rizzo about their book, Spiritually Able, A Parent's Guide to Teaching the Faith to Children with Special Needs. You mentioned in Spiritually Able that Danielle took part in Special Olympics. What did being part of that program do you think for her self-esteem or confidence?
Wonderful.
Special Olympics is a wonderful program. And in terms of the development of the child, it's great. Danielle's sense of self-esteem, right now she is doing figure skating with Special Olympics.
Wow, great.
And she loves it. She has learned an extremely challenging skill, ice skating. She ice skates 10 times better than me. And she really does. But not only that, she is so happy and proud of her accomplishment when she does do her routine. She also gets to work with typical kids of her same age group. In fact, the girl she works with now is in her school. And so what happens is there's this wonderful peer relationships that develop between the kids who are the coaches, so to speak, and the children with special needs. And it's wonderful. It also builds a great camaraderie amongst the other athletes. And this is really important, the parents who are there have this whole network of support with one another and are developing friendships and the like. So it's just a great program all along.
Well, let me follow up on that, because I interviewed Tim Shriver a few weeks ago, who's chairman of Special Olympics. And he said that the special needs people, the kids with intellectual disabilities that he's known, they've been his greatest life teachers. Now, what life lessons have you learned from being a part of Danielle's life and a part of the special needs community?
Oh, well, one, you learn this amazing appreciation for all people, even people who in the past wouldn't have been on your radar. Like before I had Danielle, really, and I was a physical therapist, but children with special needs, people with special needs, people with intellectual and developmental disabilities were not even on my radar.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly you discover, wow, there's all these great people out there. And the main thing I picked up was I would never have expected myself to be the father of a child with special needs. I never would have placed myself in that position. But once I was in that position, I found out that God really knew best, because here was an opportunity for me to develop into the best person that I could develop into. And so I really had to take an active role in her life. And it sent me in so many different directions. So that's the biggest life lesson I learned, that when you find yourself in a situation, you know, trust that you're there for a reason.
Right. Mercedes, the same goes for you?
Well, I think I've developed even a deeper sense of compassion.
Okay.
And I think that is also spelled out to our other children. They really do understand it, and I do too. And like David said, I think it really, I concur with him, really wouldn't have been something I think either one of us would have chosen. And as, actually, when we were preparing for our pre-CANA classes many, many years ago, they brought up scenarios like that, you know, raising a child with special needs and some other scenarios. And, you know, we were like, oh, okay, that, you know, sure, sure. But really, you know, we didn't think we were ever really going to be called to it. And like David said, it really has, it really, I think, has brought us closer because we're always on an advocacy. We've had to, you know, be more united and on our front for her. It's, I think it's strengthened our family all together. But I think the greatest thing I probably would take away is the level of more understanding and compassion I have for everyone now.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up, and I have been talking with David Rizzo and Mercedes McBride Rizzo about their book, Spiritually Able, A Parent's Guide to Teaching the Faith to Children with Special Needs. This book really is a must-read. If you have kids with special needs or grandparents or relatives, maybe you're an aunt or uncle of someone with a special needs child, this book is going to take you through the steps of how they can be part of the church community, how they can be part of the faith, better integrated into it. And I think people who don't maybe have special needs people in their family could read the book too and learn something about how to approach others who have the situation in their parish. Thankfully, David and Mercedes had a welcoming parish, so they were able to make this work for them. And it's good to remember not to be too judgmental of other people, like they said during the interview. So I encourage everybody to read Spiritually Able, A Parent's Guide to Teaching the Faith to Children with Special Needs. And David and Mercedes, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tony, very much.
Now, before we end today's show, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
Throughout Scripture, we hear that God is kind and merciful, and we see in the stories of the gospel what that mercy looks like, as Jesus unpacks it for us via parables and practice. But how can we live out the concept of mercy in our world today? To answer that question, the Christophers have prepared a news note called Blessed Are the Merciful. It highlights the kindness, forgiveness, and love that result from practicing mercy and offers suggestions on ways we can integrate mercy into our lives. To request your free copy of Blessed Are the Merciful, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.